According to the occurrence of material phenomena by karma, in the sense sphere, beings of spontaneous birth. Who are the beings of spontaneous birth? In Buddhism, there are four types of birth. One is called spontaneous birth. One is called egg born. Another one, moisture born. Another one, womb born, like human beings. So, beings of spontaneous birth, including Dewa, in a sense sphere, sensual world, Dewa and hell beings and hungry ghosts. This type of beings are called spontaneous birth. This type of beings, at the moment of rebirth, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and sex, and heart base, dekek kalapa, spring at the time of rebirth. That's why they appear in the world as an adult. Dewa, hungry ghosts, and hell beings. They appear in the world as an adult because of the spontaneous birth, their karma, because of their karma. So they have all this eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, sex, and heart base at the same time. But for beings of womb born, like human beings, at rebirth, only at rebirth moment, only 30. There is body, sex, and heart base decay, kalapa. And during course of existence, eye, ear, nose, tongue, decay, and so forth start to develop. Okay. And for the five material world, for Brahma in the five material world, at the moment of rebirth, because they are spontaneous birth, only eye, decay, kalapa, ear, heart, base, and life knowledge, only this 39 matter are produced at the rebirth moment. So Brahma has no nose, eye sense, no nose sensitivity. So they never smell the bad smell. And they don't have tongue sensitivity. So Brahma, they don't need to eat anything. They don't have to eat. They are sustained by the joy of jhana. And they don't have body sensitivity also. So they don't have sense of touch. They only have eye to see Buddha, the Lord Buddha. They only have ear to listen to the Dhamma. So these two are very important. The rest, not very important. But for human beings, maybe we emphasize a lot of touch, must have pleasant touch, and also we emphasize a lot of tongue sensitivity, must have good food to enjoy. Without, just the audience say, without enjoyment, it's very boring. Life is very boring.
If listen really don't understand, cannot ask. Listen really don't understand, cannot ask.
No, they don't have tongue sensitivity, they have mouth. Oh. They have mouth, but they don't have tongue sensitivity. Because for Brahma, the jhana pressure is, Buddha say, the third jhana pressure is surpass all mundane pressures. So the food to them is undesirable. Okay. Then, next one, for non-percipient beings. In the Brahma world, there's one type of being is called non-percipient being. This type of being has no mind at all. Only body. Always there like golden statue. No mind. And this type of being, because they wrongly think that all the suffering come from mind. So before they attain this non-percipient realm, they develop an attitude to get rid of the mind. Because of that karma, so they reborn in the Brahma world as non-percipient beings, no consciousness, no mind at all. So this type of being only have life knowledge kalapa, only one type of matter. And for immaterial world, there's no materiality, no matter at all. Okay, we have finished all 28 kinds of rupa. And previously, we have finished 89 type of consciousness, 52 mental factors, and now we have finished 28 kinds of matter. Mental factor and consciousness, both this is called mind. Pali we call nama because of their bending towards the object. This is called nama. And 28 kinds of matter is called matter. So mind and matter equal to 5 aggregates of clinging. In a matter aggregate, there are 28. So all 28 kinds of matter is called matter aggregate. And feeling aggregate, among 52 mental factors, there's one called feeling. That feeling is called feeling aggregate. Among 52 mental factors, there's one called perception aggregate. It's called perception mental factor. That's equal to perception aggregate. And exclude feeling and perception, there are 52 remained. This 52 mental factors is called formation aggregate. And among this 52, volition is the head. So some people say sometimes formation aggregate is volition because he is the head. But actually there are 52 mental factors in a formation aggregate. And 89 type of consciousness, exclude 8 supramundane consciousness, are called consciousness aggregate. Because 8 supramundane consciousness cannot become the object of clinging. So they are excluded. So only 81 type of consciousness equal to consciousness aggregate. So before you study Abhidhamma, you always hear Buddha say 5 aggregate, 5 aggregate, and you always listen formation aggregate. But I don't think you understand what is formation aggregate. Only now you understand what is formation aggregate. So Abhidhamma helps a lot, Sutta. If you understand Abhidhamma well, you understand Sutta well. As I have said, in the rebirth consciousness, in the near-death five-door cognitive process, one type of object will appear. For example, there's one meditator in Pa'au. When she listened her past life, she saw herself was a very poor villager, uneducated, and she saw herself in front of Chai Tiyo Pagoda. That's one very famous pagoda in Burma. So holding her lamp, her candle, and the incense stick, she offered this to the Chai Tiyo Pagoda. At that moment, there was a very high educated lady come from the town beside her. So she reflected, this poor villager reflected her own state of suffering. So she prayed, may this meritorious state help me to reborn as a female born in town and highly educated, like the girl beside me. She prayed, she inclined her mind to become a lady with born in town and highly educated. During her dying moment, this karma ripened and produced. During anybody's dying moment, there are one of the three types of sign will appear. What are the three? One is called karma. One is called sign of karma, or another one called sign of destination. Karma means, for example, she offered this lamb to the pagoda. During her dying moment, she might see herself offer lamb again. That picture appear again in her mind. Or maybe that volition appear again in her mind. That's called karma. Sign of karma is the instrument she used while performing that wholesome deeds. What instrument she used? Lamb or incense stick. So if during her dying moment, if she sees this incense stick or lamp, this is called sign of karma. the sign of destination indicates where she will take her rebirth. Now suppose she sees red color in the mother's womb. Red color. Indicates what? Human. She will be reborn in human. She will be reborn as human being in the next life. So this lady, suppose she sees red color, sign of destination, which indicate she will be reborn as human being in her next life. So she sees red color in the mother's womb. So after that, this red color will appear in the Jhavana stage near that cognitive process. Taking that red color as object, then this person pass away. Then the rebirth consciousness arises in a human realm, taking this red color as object. Because rebirth consciousness arises in a new existence, depend on the previous karma. That karma already ripened, produced rebirth consciousness. So rebirth consciousness takes this red color as object. So at the rebirth consciousness moment, there are one consciousness. Suppose this lady, she performed this charity. She understand the law of karma. And she did it with joy and unprompted. So we have among 89 type of consciousness, we have one, 8 are wholesome. Remember that one consciousness associated with knowledge, with joy and unprompted. This karma ripened. Now produce rebirth consciousness. One rebirth consciousness associated with 33 mental factors. We have already studied 33 mental factors. So one rebirth consciousness plus 33 mental factors and plus 30 matter. Sex decay kalapa, body decay kalapa, and heart-based decay kalapa. So at the very moment of conception, mind and matter are produced already. Mind and matter. And this mind and matter is equal to 5 aggregates of clinging. So when this mind and matter are produced at the moment of conception, then this mind and matter is clung to as myself. Under the influence of ignorance. The function of ignorance is to conceal the true nature of things. So actually this mind and matter arise and pass away very fast. Arise, pass away, then another mind and matter arise and pass away. This is the nature, the true nature of mind and matter. But because the deformant has not yet been cut off by this person, so when this mind and matter are produced at the moment of conception, and it is under the influence of ignorance, they cling to this mind and matter as myself. Thus develop the craving and clinging. And this 5 aggregates of clinging, the mind and matter equal to 5 aggregates. And Buddha said this 5 aggregates of clinging, even though in the very moment of conception, is the truth of suffering. The Buddha said in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, now this bhikkhus is the normal truth of suffering. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, illness is suffering, death is suffering. Being united with the unpleasant is suffering. Being separated from the pleasant is suffering. Not to get what one wants is suffering. In brief, the 5 aggregates of clinging is suffering. Okay. And what is this 5 aggregates of clinging? In the Khanda Sutta, in Samyutta Nikaya, Khanda Sutta, the Lord Buddha said, and what, bhikkhus, are the 5 aggregates of clinging? Whatever kind of materiality there is, whether past, future, pleasant, internal, external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near, that is tainted, that can be clung to, it is call the materiality aggregate of clinging. So also to the feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, there's 11 types of feeling aggregate, 11 types of perception aggregate, 11 types of formation aggregate, and 11 types of consciousness aggregate. That is tainted, that can be clung to as I, my, myself, is called the material, is called the five aggregate of clinging. And in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, Buddha continued to say, vision arose, insight arose, knowledge arose, wisdom arose, light arose within me with regard to things never heard before. This noble truth of suffering is to be comprehended or known. So we already understand the noble truth of suffering is equal to five aggregates of clinging. And this noble truth of suffering or five aggregates of clinging arise at the very moment of conception. Okay. And this is to be comprehended or known. To be comprehended by what? By what? Inside knowledge. It's to comprehend it by inside knowledge. So if you want to comprehend this noble truth of suffering, it's necessary to study mind, mental factors and matter. This is what Buddha said. But we also have studied now consciousness, mental factors and rupa. It's so profound. So profound. How to comprehend? How? Buddha continued to say. Bhikkhus, in the Samadhi Sutta, bhikkhus develop concentration. Having attained concentration, a bhikkhu understands Dhamma as they really are. And what does he understand as it really is? He understands as it really is. This is the truth of suffering, the first noble truth. He understands as it really is. This is the origin of the truth of suffering. He understands as it really is. This is the cessation of the truth of suffering. And he understands as it really is. This is the path leading to the cessation of suffering. Bhikkhus develop concentration. Having attained concentration, a bhikkhu understands dhammas as they really are. So you have to develop concentration first in order to comprehend this inside knowledge. So there are many ways of develop concentration. In Visuddhimagga, there are 40 ways of meditation subject. After develop concentration, it's not necessary you have to develop concentration up to jhana. Even up to upachara samadhi is enough. For example, if you practice nine attributes of the Buddha, Buddha Anusati, then you only up to upachara samadhi, not jhana samadhi. So certain, if you contemplate death, marana nusati, contemplation of death, you reach upachara samadhi, not jhana samadhi. So you have to attend either upachara samadhi or apana, absorption samadhi, in order to comprehend this first noble truth. Not only first noble truth, the four noble truth. So you have to try and put it into practice. But you might argue with me, during Buddha's time, there are so many people just listen to the Dhamma, become arahant. Why should I try so hard? You might have this type of question in your mind. But you should not forget. In Anguttara Nikaya, there are four types of pukala. There are four types of beings. Number one is called Ugati Tanyu. This type of beings, like Venerable Sariputta, Venerable Moggallana, and Bahiya. This type of being, just listen to one short stanza, they can become enlightened. And unfortunately, this type of beings have no more exist in the world. So you should not hope for a shortcut. No shortcut. Okay. And this type of being, why they can attain enlightenment, this one for your knowledge, why they can attain enlightenment so fast? Because in a past life. This type of being we call Ugati Tanyu. They have practiced Samatha and Vipassana up to equanimity towards all formations. We have 16 stages of inside knowledge. They already reached that stage before go to Nibbana. We call equanimity towards all Sankara Upekha, Sankara Upekha Jnana. So they have already reached that inside knowledge, equanimity towards all formation. But they stop that. They don't want to go. They don't want to proceed to see Nibbana. Why? Because this type of beings, they pray in their previous life. They pray. They want to become like Venerable Sariputta. They want to become the right hand disciple of the Lord Buddha, foremost in wisdom. So before Buddha arrives in the world, he cannot become Arahant. He has to wait for the Buddha to become Sammasambuddha first. Only he can become right-hand disciple of the Lord Buddha. So they just wait. They wait only. They have enough parami. Just wait for the Buddha to come. Like another one. And this type of being, they already strive very hard in their past. For example, Bahiya, during Buddha Kassapa's time, he and few monks, they climb up to the very steep mountain, and they throw away all the rope and the all the rope throw away. Then they make a resolution: either we attain liberation or we die here, because we have no food here. We cannot go down to the mountain. We have no food. So either die or enlighten. These two choices. So Bahiya, some become anagami. Bahiya died as a wording, as a Puttujana. Then during Buddha's time, he was born as one day he went, I think he went for business, and his ship was, sink in the sea. So he was floated into one island. Then, and he used, leaf to cover his body without wearing, if I'm not mistaken, without wearing clothes. So people think that he's Arahant, because very unusual. So people think he's Arahant. So they offer him a lot of food and supported him. And after some time, he also think he is Arahant. He also think himself is Arahant. But because during Kassapa Buddha's time, some already become anagami. There are a few monks. Some become anagami and reborn in Brahma world. His friend, his old friend. So Brahma, one of the Brahma, know Bahiya's mind. Oh, my friend went astray. I must help him. So this Brahma came down to the earth and reminded him, you are not Arahant. The Buddha, Sammasambuddha, already appeared in the world. You should go and learn from him. So the moment Bahiya listened this Sammasambuddha, he was so excited. So he quickly... the whole night he went to the place where Buddha lived. So when he met Buddha, he asked Buddha, quickly teach me Dhamma. Buddha saw he's very tired. Hold on, please hold on. Then second time he asked again. No, wait. Until the third time, Buddha felt that now his excitement already settled. Now he's ready to listen to the Dhamma. Then Buddha only tell him very short stanza. When you hear, you just know hearing. When you see, you just know seeing. Become Arahant. So quick, you become Arahant. So, you see, we do not practice so hard like him. You know, you go up to the mountain and push down all the things at either enlightenment or die. So this type of being tried very hard in the past. Not only that, this Bahiya, he prayed. To become the one foremost in quick understanding of Dhamma. The one foremost in quick attainment among all disciples. Even Venerable Sariputta had to take 14 days to become Arahant. This Bahiya only listened so short, become Arahant, faster than Venerable Sariputta. Because he prayed for it. He prayed among all disciples, he will be the quickest one to become Arahant. So before Gautama Buddha arrives, he cannot become Arahant. He has to wait for Samasamuddha to arise. So this type of being has no more exist in the world. Okay? Now we come to second type of being. We call Vipacitanyo. This type of beings, they must first listen to the Dhamma. Listen Dhamma, little bit short, little bit longer discourse, not so short like here you know you're hearing, see the Arahant, not so short. Listen little bit longer like Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the discourse on non-self, is quite long discourse. Not very long, but a little bit longer discourse. So during Buddha's time, when Buddha preached Dhamma Chakka Pavattana Sutta, only Kondanya becomes Sotapan. Buddha preached to five monks, Dhamma Chakka Pavattana Sutta. Only one become Sotapan. The rest four still not yet become Sotapan. Then after a few days, they have to practice. They have to practice few days. After a few days, Buddha teach the second discourse, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Only then, these five all become Arahant. So this type of being, they have to listen to the little bit longer discourse and yet strive, practice, and can become Arahant. And unfortunately, this type of being is also no more exist in the world. So you should not hope for that also. Now the third types of being. The third types of being we call Neya Pugala. Neya Pugala. This type of being must strive very hard. From the 7 days to 30 years. And also they must frequently listen to Dhamma talk. Without listen to Dhamma talk or interview, they can't attend enlightenment. Just like Maha, if you have enough parami, maybe within 7 days or 7 years you can become enlightened. But if your parami is not so good, you must strive maybe 30 years. Just like Mahasiva. Mahasiva is master of the three Tipitaka, the three basket. He's the master of three Tipitaka. All his students are Arahant, but he himself is Putujana, worldling. So one day his Arahant student want to admonish him, want to advise him, don't teach, stop teaching, meditate. So Mahasiva said, okay, within 3 days I will become Arahant, don't worry. So after that he went alone without telling his disciple, because he think within 3 days he will become Arahant. So he went alone to another place for meditation. After 3 days, not yet become Arahant. So I cannot go back. I will try for this wasa, this raining season. So after raining season, I will go back. So he try for the whole raining season, still cannot become Arahant. Cannot go back. Try again next year. So another year he try again, still cannot become Arahant. So every year he cry. The master of three Tipitaka. Every year he cry, cannot become Arahant. And he cry continuously for 30 years. 30 years, still cannot become Arahant. So one day he cry under the tree. He cry under the tree. Then the three deities, the Dewa who stay on the tree, want to help him. So he came down and asked him, why are you crying? Oh, I cry. This Dewa came down and sit beside him. And this Dewa also cried. This Dewa also cried. Then Mahasiva, why are you crying? Then the Dewa answered, I think by crying I can become Arahant. So he said, by crying I can become Arahant. So, he tried to tease this Mahasiva. So Mahasiva feels so shameful. So he go and strike again. Then at that day he become Arahant. So this, you see, people had to practice 30 years. And the master of three Tipitaka, now how many years you have practiced? And people practice very diligently. This type of people we call Neya Pukala. Third type, we belong to these third types of beings. We have to practice many years and practice very hard and listen to the Dhamma again and again. And number fourth individual, we call Pada Parama Pukala. This type of beings, no matter how hard they try, they cannot attend liberation. Have to wait for next life. But it doesn't matter. When you try very hard this life, you accumulate a lot of parami. then that parami will help you to gain enlightenment in your next life. So, before I end this talk, today's talk, that's why it's important, just make a very short conclusion. It's important to understand, to study consciousness, mental factors, and matter, because these three are equal to five aggregates of clinging, which is also same as the first noble truth of suffering. And the first noble truth of suffering should be, is to be comprehended by inside knowledge. And to gain inside knowledge, you have to first develop concentration first. So, so before I end my my lecture, the Buddha, before he passed away, he admonished all his disciples, Vaya Dhamma Sankara Appamadena Sampadeta. All conditional phenomena finally must pass away, disintegrate. Strive hard, strive diligently. Okay. This is the end of my talk.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Any question?
I have two questions here. First one, there are three levels of kilesa, namely anusaya kilesa, parivittana kilesa, and vitikkakkhama kilesa. Anusaya kilesa is a very fine kilesa. When kilesa has not been eradicated, the anusaya kilesa would settle like sediment in the chittas that arise and fall away in continuation, like a seed. A pachaya for pariyutana kilesa to arise. What caution must one take, and how to practice well to eradicate them?
Eradicate anusaya or
all the kilesa.
All the kilesa. The anusaya kilesa is called latent defilement, latent kilesa. That only can be eradicated by arahant path knowledge. But pariyutana kilesa and vitikkama kilesa can be so long you have not yet eradicated anusaya kilesa. This pariyutana kilesa and vitikkama kilesa can arise. I think by way of mindfulness, you mindful whatever appear in your mind, or you by way of concentration and mindfulness, you can stop it. But you can't stop anusaya kilesa unless you have become arahant.
Okay. Second question, from your experience or knowledge, for those practitioners who have reached the arupa jhanas, how can one overcome the following? Number one, instant of seeing is not a self, entity or person has to be realized. Number two, kilesa or its effects that still need to be abandoned. And three, returning back to the normal state of mind, be trapped in a state of formless mind and unguided by a proper teacher.
It's a very profound question. Instant of seeing is not the self, entity of self or entity of person has to be realized. Who have reached the arupa jhana, mean now he has attained arupa jhanas.
Yes.
That type of concentration, when you attend arupa jhana, you have that type of concentration. That type of concentration helps you to listen. Seeing consciousness, we cannot stop at seeing consciousness. In the cognitive process, we can stop either at bhavanga or investigating consciousness or jhavana or registering consciousness. There are four cores. So we cannot stop at seeing consciousness. But when you can discern this seeing eye-door cognitive process, eye-door cognitive process, past bhavanga, vibrating bhavanga, investigating bhavanga, five-door averting consciousness, eye consciousness. So you can reflect each mental factor, you can reflect each consciousness and its associated mental factor and see them as anicca, dukkha, anatta. That's the way. But you want to stop at seeing, that's not possible. Because according to Abhidhamma, we cannot stop at seeing. There are four causes. Either you can stop at vibrating bhavanga, if the object impinged through the eye, sensitivity is not strong, it's very weak, then only bhanga vibrate, no jhavana. If the it's called very slight object. And if it's slight object, it only stops at determining consciousness. Two or three determining consciousness will arise if the object is called slight object. This is what we call the course ending at investigating, the course ending at determining consciousness. And if the object is great, then it will stop at jhavana. And if the object is very great, it will stop at two registering consciousness. So it's not possible to stop at seeing. But if you, with the help of concentration you gain from arupa jhana, you can analyze during your seeing something. You can analyze your eye-door cognitive process, and you can see each consciousness is accompanied by certain mental factors, and you have to comprehend all this consciousness and associated mental factors as impermanent, non-self, and suffering. And at that time, you will not see this I, this self. And number two, kiris are all its effects that still need to be abandoned. I don't understand. How can one overcome the form? The kilesa and all its effect that still need to be abandoned, as we have already known. In order to abandon the kilesa, we need to attain four supramundane level. There's either, if you attain sotapan, you abandon the three factors, personality, view, doubt, and attachment to rice and riches. If you attain second sakadagami, then you lessen, you do not abandon any kilesa, you lessen the force of anger and greed. If you attain anagami, third stage of sainthood, you permanently abandon anger and greed, greed for sensual pleasures, but still have craving for fine material world and immaterial world. If you attain arahant, you eradicate the remaining five factors. There's pride, conceit, and ignorance, craving for material world, craving for immaterial world, and the last one, restlessness. So, in order to abandon the remaining kilesa, you need to achieve different stages of sainthood. Okay. And number three, returning back to the noble state of mind, it trapped in the state of formless mind and unguided by a proposition. What does it mean?
For someone who has attained to the arupa jhanas, one of the perceived obstacles is that he's trapped in that formless mind state and unable to return back to the normal state. So how does one overcome this without a proper teacher?
Without a proper teacher, I think it's very difficult. You have to learn under the guidance of teacher. The teacher will ask you how to enter into jhana and how to emerge in the jhana. Jhana is not the main ultimate goal of teaching of the Buddha, but it's the stepping stone. It's a stepping stone for one to practice vipassana, because one who is concentrated see things as they really are taught by the Buddha in Samadhi Sutta. So we just want to develop concentration in order to penetrate into this ultimate mind and body. So without the help of the teacher, most of the meditator, they will get attached to the jhana. Get attachment to the jhana, then they will not proceed to the vipassana. They don't know how to proceed as well. So I think the best way is, no matter how, you have to learn from the teacher. Any other question from the audience here? Do you understand the rupa section?
Yes. All this rupa that we produce, feels internally, does it have weight?
arise and disappear so quick. You cannot see by the naked eye. No more question? Okay. Then if no question, we should transfer merit. Okay, before you say sadhu, please follow after me. Okay? Because I also wish that my sharing of Abhidhamma knowledge with all of you help me to achieve Nibbana. So I want to make that wish. I also want all of you to make that wish. So after sharing Malib, you follow after me before calling sadhu. Ita vata chammehi sampadam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. Ita vata chammehi sampadam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. Ita vata chammehi sampadam punya sampadam sabbe sata anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. Idang me punyang asawa kaya wahang hodu idang me punyang nibbanasa paccayo hodu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you. I hope you all are benefited from the talk. Okay, one moment. There's one mistake here. I would like you to make amendment. Page 145. There's a chart, the process of attainment of fruition. Do you see that? Okay. This the keyword, CH, change of lineage. It's not correct. If you see the chart there, V, A, M, P, R, A, C, C, N, and P, U. So please replace CH, change of lineage, with this P, U. Put PU there and cancel CH in the key. In the keywords, there's CH, change of lineage. You cancel this one and you put PU equal to purification. Okay?